Greetings! Things are going to be a little different at New Day. We're in this series about renovation, and God has taken a sledgehammer to our traditional ideas of how to do church, right? We're not allowed to gather in groups of 10 or more, and for so long, that has been the understanding of church, kind of the cultural Western American understanding of what church is. We've talked about this many times. We tend to think of church as an event and as a place, and God has taken care of that for us. We've got to reimagine and re-understand and renovate our idea of church. So as I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about you being in your home like I am here, one of the passages that came to my mind is the Apostle Paul teaching about letting the Holy Spirit guide your life and how there are fruits that come from that, a fruit of the Spirit, which is kind of a weird concept that we're going to get into some more. But this first section, this first teaching is kind of laying the groundwork for that. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, Paul is addressing a gathering of disciples who people have been trying to tell them, you've got to come back to the old traditions. That's how you're going to be justified before God. That's how you're going to be acceptable in his sight, by coming back to the old religious practices. And Paul is saying, no, Jesus came and died so that you could be forgiven, so that you could live in his righteousness. And so we read in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 13, he says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Now, I know we're not necessarily thinking of this COVID-19 outbreak as something that has given us freedom. It's something that has kind of imprisoned us in our homes. And yet what it has done for the church is it has broken that understanding of church as place or as an event. And if it isn't broken in us, if we keep grasping for it, then we're going to find it slipping through our fingers. We've got to re-understand that he has freed the church to serve one another in love. Verse 14, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. For me, this becomes a lot more real as I sit in this room and I look out this window, and there's my neighbor Joe's house, and over here are my neighbors Randy and Barb, and Jerry's there, and Chia is there, and I can just, I'm in the midst of my neighbors. So I mean, literally, sometimes we think of neighbors as just somebody we know, somebody in our circle of influence. Literally, I am here among my neighbors. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. That's for you households where your kids are home instead of being in school. If you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So we have had our regular lives, kind of a sledgehammer's been taken to it. And I really think that Paul's word to these disciples in the Galatian church is applicable to us today. We've been given this freedom. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to give in to your sinful nature? And some of what your sinful nature wants to do is, we've seen it, hoarding. It wants to be greedy. It wants to be about self-preservation. It wants to be fearful. Some people who have been a part of a body, a worshiping body, even look at this as a great opportunity because they've seen gathering together for worship as a chore, as something that they do with resistance, and so they're happy. Oh, good. At least they don't have to go to church on Sunday morning. Maybe you've been freed from going to church on Sunday morning. What we have been freed to do is to be the church where we are, as we are. Sometimes I think of Sunday morning like a glass, he has props, like a glass, and if you picture a week on the calendar, and you picture this glass sitting on Sunday morning, and then there are the other days of the week, and there are other things on those days of the week. Sunday morning is like a place where we pour our resources into that Sunday morning service, where we take time during the week to prepare, you know, the music and the teaching. And then everybody comes together in a space that has to be paid for. And we serve together. It takes an army of volunteers. And we've got like this column of resources sitting on Sunday morning. And yeah, check that. That's a new day pint glass, everybody. Limited edition. We've got this column of resources on Sunday morning. Now, God has broken this. He has taken this column of resources. And here's what I love is when I read the book of Ephesians, another letter that Paul wrote to a church in Ephesians chapter 1, he talks about Christ being the head of the church being his body, and the church being his instrument to bring Christ everywhere, in all things. So the church has been this column of resources on Sunday morning, but when I read that, I think about a window box that it has seeds in it, but it's dried out. Can you picture with me? And if you looked closely at the soil in that window box, you'd see gaps and cracks within the particles of soil. And when I read that in Ephesians chapter 1, and I read in the Psalms, and Psalm 67, David talking about you've blessed me so that I can let your name be praised among the nations. I picture that dry soil, and I picture it like my neighborhood right now, where we've got these gaps between us, and even some of my neighbors, and maybe even some people in your household. There's this, not just a gap, but a chasm between them and God. So we've got these separations and these gaps, and rather than thinking of church as this column of resources on Sunday where we say to people, you know, you probably want to be closer to people and closer to God, so you should come here, come into this, come here, and maybe you'll like it. Maybe you'll like the music. Maybe you'll like the people. Maybe you'll like the food. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe you'll even have this kind of encounter with God. Maybe you'll like it. And maybe if you like church, maybe you'll like Jesus. The image that I think Paul is giving us in Ephesians chapter 1 is more like that window box. And instead of thinking of getting people to come into Sunday morning, the picture, the image is of that dry soil being saturated, Jesus Christ, His gospel, the Holy Spirit reaching into every crack, every gap, every nook and cranny, and turning that dry soil into something that can sustain life. God is breaking that column of resources and spilling it out to our communities, as long as we are willing to, instead of following our instincts, kind of our self-preservational, selfish ideas of what to do with this newfound freedom, if we're giving ourselves over to His direction and His control, then we can become a part of that saturation, that gospel lived out during the week. I know that leaves a lot of questions about how to do that. What does that mean? What does that look like? I'm going to leave you with that. And I want you to go to God with that. Pray about it. I'm going to record another section that you could go on to immediately, go on to the next part, or you could take some time and look at the questions for reflection and discussion. And you could either work through that on your own. If you're at home with your family, you can take some of those questions and discuss them with your family. Maybe your small group is getting together in a video format and you can discuss those in your small group. The point is, I'm not just here recording this in order to give you more insight into what I think God is doing here. I am trying to open your heart and your mind to the Word of God so that He can give you steps to take, to obey, to put into practice His commands, His words. So open your heart and mind to God today and consider, how do I use this change, this freedom, not just to pursue my personal desires, but to love well? Tune in for the next part. Hey, welcome to part two of Things Are a Little Different. I know, like, the church is different, yeah, and some of your compartments have been broken, I'm sure. Maybe your job is in jeopardy right now. Maybe you've had to do more than simply work from home. Maybe you've got the kind of job that you're not sure what's going to happen next, and that's real and that's hard. Maybe you've had to figure out what to do about kids being home from school and you're going through a difficult time. Like, what are the feelings that are real for you right now? Are you feeling anxiety? Are you feeling frustration? Are you feeling fear? Is your patience wearing thin? Are you finding yourself lashing out or slipping into despair or isolation? This is the danger when our compartments get messed with, when the things that we were comfortable with get broken down. The promise of Jesus is that when the storms in life come, and they will come, those who have heard His teachings and put them into practice will be like a wise person whose house was built on a solid foundation. The storms will come. It can be scary. It can be difficult. You don't need to despair because your house is built on a solid foundation. If you're feeling like, oh my gosh, my house has not been built on a solid foundation, I'm just realizing it right now because I'm feeling the crash of it. I'm feeling the splinters of everything that I've built coming down. I want to encourage you that God does not abandon you even in that. What you need to do is abandon what you had built. Our tendency is sometimes to hold tightly to that, whether it's what has been in our own lives or even the traditions of the church that are being messed with right now. I want to encourage you, don't just hold on to that and try to preserve it. You've got to let some things go and hold on to God and pursue Him. That's what I want to encourage you to do, and what I am praying that God will give you direction for right now. What is that going to look like for you? For the church, one of the things that looks like is resisting the impulse to, now that that column of resources, that Sunday morning glass has been kind of broken, the knee-jerk reaction can be, well, let's build it up. We'll just do the same things that we've always done, and we'll just do it online. So we'll film our music team doing music, and then we'll film a message. We'll set up a pulpit. We'll just do the same thing. And I'm suggesting that this is a gift. This is an opportunity. We have a chance to rethink and reinvent and rediscover the church as Jesus designed it, as some of these pieces are broken down. Now, I know I'm playing into some of that kind of grasping for the way things were just by doing a teaching like this, as if you need me to tell you God's word. You don't. You have access to Scripture. You have access to His word. You have access to the Holy Spirit in your life. You don't need me. What I'm trying to do is create kind of a bridge for you, for something familiar, from that familiar thing to something brand new, something that I think God is using as an opportunity to sharpen and strengthen His church, to move us from being in a column on a Sunday morning to saturating our neighborhoods with Him. If we're going to do that, we're going to need to experience some of that saturation in ourselves. And if you've got a Bible and would open along with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Now, if you're not sure how to navigate the Bible, there's a table of contents in the beginning. So bonus for you, right? Sure, you could look up Galatians there if you want to get a little bit better about navigating Scripture. If you hear the name of a book and it sounds like it ends in the letters A-N-S, then it's probably towards the back. There's an Old Testament, the Old Covenant, which is about two-thirds of the Bible, and about a third of the way in, you'll run into the New Testament, the New Covenant, with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John being the accounts of Jesus, His life and ministry. And then you have Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and really it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit after the ministry of Jesus on earth, the start of the church. And then you get into some letters from Paul. So when you hear things like Romans, hear that A-N-S in there, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, he's writing to specific groups of people in specific areas, so you'll know that's towards the back of the Bible. So, if you were to open up to the book of Galatians, and if you skip to chapter 5 and we continue from where we were reading before, if we go into verse 16, he says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." This is what we need during this time, is to let the Holy Spirit guide our lives rather than giving into what our sinful nature, sometimes it's Paul says the flesh, you're kind of your physical, your more instinctual nature, like, don't just give into reacting to what's going on. trust the Holy Spirit. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Do you ever feel that tension? I hope you do, because that means that you've got the Holy Spirit in you, that tension between what you kind of want to do and what you know is right, that is different from what you want to do. And then sometimes you want to do what is right, and yet you feel something pulling you from that. There's this battle. Verse 18, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Now he's going back to what he talks about in the rest of this, or earlier in this letter, about not being obligated to the old religious traditions as a way of making yourself right. He says you're not obligated to that. He says, continues, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, that's just worshiping idols, worshiping anything other than God, letting your heart be connected to something else that drives you. Maybe you're taking this time and in this new freedom, and you're letting yourself get pulled into a particular video game or binging a show or some other thing that where you're not giving any of this new time, this new attention to God. That could be an idol in your life. Idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the authority of God. And if you're saying, I'm going to let these other things have authority over me, you're not giving God that authority. If you're letting your anger drive you, then your anger has authority over you, not God. If you're letting drunkenness rule over you, it's calling the shots, not God. So if that is how you've identified yourself, then you will not be identified as a child of God, as someone in his kingship, under his authority, in his household, in his family. You've said, I'm something else. Here's the good news. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. These are all good. It's all good. As you follow the Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life. And if you think about your household right now, if you think about your job, if you think about your community, your neighborhood, and just imagine your own heart being a place where this kind of fruit grows. And I know fruit's kind of like a weird analogy, but fruit is something good. It's something that nourishes. It's something that is beautiful, is a blessing to everyone around you. It's something healthy. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What if your household was saturated with those things right now? Maybe it is. Praise the Lord. That's amazing. If it's not, this is where we start. This is the opportunity that we have. Because I'm not going to saturate my neighborhood. I'm not going to go around and spill out the love and the joy and the peace and the patience that comes from the Holy Spirit to my neighbors. I'm not going to see Christ fill in all the gaps around my neighborhood if he's not doing that in my own heart. Paul continues, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. This is my encouragement to you as we've found this this new schedule, these compartments in our lives being broken, and it feels like we're kind of confined now in our homes or whatever spaces that you're confined in. I want you to think of that as a freedom to pursue the fruit of the Spirit, a freedom to spend time with God, to consider, what are the feelings that I'm feeling right now? Where are they coming from? If they're not coming from God, then take his promises and speak those promises to those fears, the anxieties, the anger, the impatience, all of those things. You have the freedom, the opportunity, a new margin in your life to spend time with God, pursuing his Holy Spirit and seeing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Think about love being something that you're pouring out to the people in your household, to people you bump into, don't bump into them, people you see from a safe distance at the grocery store, people you interact with online. What does it look like to love them? What about joy? Are you a joyful presence in your household, online, at work, however you're interacting with work right now? Are you a joyful presence? Do you have peace in your life? Those things will help us be a witness. A peace that goes beyond anything that makes sense or that can be understood is something people will wonder about. And they may ask you about it. And you need to be ready to say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. He's got this. He's got this. Our column of resources has been broken, and we have an opportunity to saturate our community with Christ. It's going to take some practice. It's going to take some doing. And the first thing we need to do is open our own hearts and let him saturate our lives and grow the fruit of the Spirit in us. I encourage you, there are 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. I encourage you, open up Galatians chapter 5, look them up, memorize that. What we do in my household, my wife writes with a dry erase marker on the mirrors, verses that are important and meaningful. Write this on the mirrors in your household. Post it around. Practice with your kids during the day. What are the first 3 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Okay, let's talk about what does that look like in our household today. What are the next 3? And we're going to spend some time working through that together. In the questions for reflection and discussion, and in future opportunities I have to address you. So make sure to check out the next steps and continue to stay tuned. God bless you.